You're listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of ST Times. And now, here's Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief of ST Times.
Hello, everyone. Dave Rubenstein here. We have a good conversation today. We're going to be talking about AI innovation. With us today is Toby Knaup. He's the general manager for Cloud Native at Nutanix. How you doing, Toby? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what we're seeing in the world is this array of advancements coming together, things like cloud native, microservices, multi-cloud infrastructure, which all are leading to, help make AI innovation possible. And I know one of the things that you talk about is your belief that Kubernetes is a key driver in the growth of AI. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, well, that's interesting because one might assume that AI is actually driving innovation in Kubernetes. So, you know, I'd love to hear your take on that. And let's kick it off with, you telling us, how is AI driving that innovation in Kubernetes?
Absolutely. So it's, the answer is it's really both. AI is driving adoption of Kubernetes and Kubernetes is driving the adoption of AI. And, if you've been to KubeCon last year, it was all about AI. And there was even a white paper that came out of the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, that talked about how Kubernetes is a great platform for AI workloads.
I believe that's where we first started talking, actually, was at that event.
Right, exactly. And if you look at the schedule for this year's KubeCon, it's all about AI again. So here's how I think about it. Kubernetes was really designed for building, operating large systems, large production grade applications in a very scalable and resilient and secure way, right? And so it turns out that you need to do those things for AI workloads too. You need to also figure out how to run your AI workloads in a scalable, repeatable, and secure way. And with AI workloads, you have the added complexity that, AI is really all about data. It's about, how you can leverage as an organization, how you can leverage the data that you have and build, AI applications around it. And so when a company's core intellectual property is involved or, other data that they need to protect, they go to great lengths to do that, right? As an average AI user, we might be using AI services online, right? We might be using ChatGPT on our phone or other things. But for many organizations, sending their core data, to a public AI endpoint, to a public API, that's just not palatable. They want to protect their data from, cyber attacks and to be compliant. And so what they need to really do is they need to move the AI compute to where their data sits, right? Yes. And so, because Kubernetes and containers enable you to run your applications in a portable way anywhere, including AI applications, it's a really great platform for AI. And it's helping those organizations adopt AI faster by making it easy to run those AI workloads where their data is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, we were talking about some of the other things like, cloud native computing, multi-cloud environments. How does all that come into play?
Yeah. So, if you talk to any mainstream enterprise today, they have a hybrid cloud strategy, right? They're running some things on premises, sometimes for historical reasons, but also increasingly for cost reasons. And that's where AI comes into play too. So, over the last decade or so, many organizations have gone to the public cloud and many have had a cloud first strategy. But, it turns out that the software that we have for operating our on-prem data centers, Kubernetes being, the key piece there, has gotten so much better that, the level of automation that we can introduce in our on-prem data centers using Kubernetes and cloud native technologies has made it a lot more attractive again to run things on-prem. And if we're looking at AI in particular, it's sometimes impossible for organizations to even get the compute resources that they need, those GPUs that everyone's after on a public cloud. And so it's easier for them to run that on-prem in many cases. And it's also more cost-effective if you're doing things at scale, right? So that's a key driver for hybrid and multi-cloud for AI workloads. And the other aspect of it is, Now, for AI, you have two components. You have to train your model, maybe fine-tune your model, and then you have to run inference, right? Which is where the model, generates text or images or does predictions. And the training part, you have to do where you have, the amount of compute available that to train those models. The inference you have to do where the new data is coming in that you want to use with that model. And so often we see an architecture where training happens, either on the cloud or in a large on-prem environment, and the inference happens on the edge of the network, right? Close to the customer, close to the user. Thinking, for example, about a manufacturing use case where companies are using models in their manufacturing facilities. So you have these different environments where you need to run AI, and so using Kubernetes as the substrate to have a single way to run in both of those environments is a real, real benefit.
So, just curious, what are some of the capabilities that AI brings for running in Kubernetes?
Yeah, so Kubernetes has seen such widespread adoption, but it's still there's still organizations or teams that struggle with it too, because it's a very sophisticated, very powerful technology, but it is it really turns the world upside down in a lot of ways, and so we still see a lot of organizations that just have a skills gap around Kubernetes, right? If you're coming from a traditional infrastructure background, it is quite different. And so what's exciting is that the community and vendors have started to also use AI to help close that skills gap. There's a really cool CNCF project called K8GPT that uses a large language model to help users triage and diagnose issues in their environments, sort of do a health check analysis. And so I kind of like to think about it as sort of an SRE copilot, like a very smart coworker that helps you become a Kubernetes expert. So I think that's a fantastic way how AI gets built into the Kubernetes layer and it helps close that skills gap. And then of course we can use AI to do all kinds of automations around operating an environment too. So that's for predicting or spotting problematic trends, for example, in your workloads and things like that. So I like to think of it as AI on Kubernetes, helping people run AI workloads, but also AI in Kubernetes, helping you operate it better.
Oh, absolutely. So, tell me a little bit about, Nutanix's approach to these kinds of things and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, so at Nutanix, we have a Kubernetes platform called NKP. It's a complete and open Kubernetes platform that includes, not just Kubernetes, but over 30 other open source projects, sort of your leading CNCF projects, all integrated into a production-ready stack. So it's everything included to go to production, fully supported by Nutanix, and it runs on any infrastructure. So when I talked about, this need for AI workloads to run on the cloud and on the edge, NKP runs on a whole range of infrastructures. It runs on Nutanix infrastructure, of course, but it also runs on third-party virtualization platforms. It runs on bare metal. It actually deeply integrates with public cloud Kubernetes services and helps people, extend those with, all the open source add-ons and lifecycle manage them. And it even runs in air-gapped environments, so environments where you don't have an internet connection. We see those very commonly in like national security workloads, but also, highly regulated industries like healthcare. So, really it's a single platform to run anywhere. And then on top of that, we have an AI product as well, called GPT in a Box, that makes it extremely easy for people to, run your best of breed models from like Hugging Face or NVIDIA, right where your data sits.
Perfect. Excellent. All right, Toby Knaup, GM for Cloud Native at Nutanix. Thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Good. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in as always. Until next time, I'm Dave Rubenstein, editor-in-chief. So long for now.